Father, we praise you. We thank you for the wonder and the marvelous word of God. We thank you for the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, because we know he is present with us. Lord, we pray over all the many, many ministries and ministry leaders here at Calvary. Lord, they work hard and they're faithful in their labor for you. Bless them. And Lord, we just pray this troubled world that we're living in, the damage from the hurricanes, Lord, all over the, well, in so many places, Lord, Puerto Rico and Florida and Texas, along the coast. And then, Lord, the horrible earthquakes in Mexico, and then the violence that's happening with the nations, our nation, and then Iran, and then Russia, and then, of course, North Korea. Lord, I pray that the rhetoric that is happening, the saber rattling of words, Lord, that they would be a cease and desist. And Lord God, we seek not to have any war but peace. And Lord, just strengthen our nation and bring revival to this nation again. And Father, we pray for Mary Bentley, who's in the hospital today. Lord, just be with her, bring healing to her body. Lord, somehow, some way, as you always do, would you please bring all things to my remembrance this morning? Let you open up your word with deep revelation to share with the sheep of your pasture. And may their hearts and their ears and their spirit be open to receive your truth. Now we love you, we praise you, we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles as we continue our study on Sundays through the Gospel of John. We're going to cover John chapter 9 this morning, all 41 verses. Very important chapter, and it sometimes is a little lengthy to go through the whole thing, but it's very important that we do. We come now to the sixth of the seven signs of our Lord in the Gospel of John. We began, of course, the first sign was the water being turned to wine, and then we moved right on through the feeding of the 5,000, the healing of the Pool of Bethesda, you know, and so forth, and walking on the water, and we come now to the healing of the man that who's born blind. Remember that the Gospel of John was written after all the other apostles had died. This is John in his later years writing this incredible gospel. 92% of what's in the Gospel of John is not in the other gospels. And so as we remember the purpose that John wrote this from John chapter 20, verse 30, it says, "And many signs that Jesus did in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." He says, but these, meaning these signs that we've been covering, this is the sixth sign, okay? Many of these signs, or these signs were written, rather, these that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you might have life in his name. You know, there are only seven, or these signs that we're covering in the Gospel of John, they are selective and they are intentional by the Holy Spirit of God. You know, a sign is something here, the King James calls it miracle, but the New King James translates it properly as a sign. A sign is something that points to a different, or to something greater. For example, you know, we have a sign out front that says Calvary Chapel, but it doesn't, that's not Calvary Chapel out there, amen? It's just a sign that points to us. We're Calvary Chapel. The same thing with our Lord. The signs that he performed pointed to him as the Messiah, the one who was to come, the one who was to heal the lame, who was to open the blind eyes, who was to raise the dead, who was to cast out demons. Amen? That's what it's all about. So as we study all this out this morning, I want us to concentrate on this. Born blind. That's the title of our sermon this morning. The man that Jesus healed was born. He was born in that condition. So there are two types of blindness in the world and in chapter 9. One is physical blindness. That's when, like this man who was born blind. The other is a spiritual blindness that every person in the world has until they're born again. Amen? And we see that, though, in the religious rulers, because the light of the world, our Lord, right there in front of him, right in front of the religious, and they didn't even recognize their Messiah. When we left off in John chapter 8, the very last verse, Jesus had told the religious rulers, he said, I am God. I am God in the flesh. And it says that they picked up stones to stone him, to kill him. It says that he passed right through them. And then beginning in John chapter 9, verse 1, as he passed by, look what happens. It says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was what? Blind from birth. Aren't you glad that Jesus wasn't like the religious rulers? Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Remember the priest was and the Levite, they were on their way down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and they ran across that man that was beaten halfway to death, that was wounded and bleeding. What did they do? They passed him, amen, good crowd. They passed him by, went on the other side. Does Jesus do that? Jesus never passes anyone by. He came to seek and save those who were lost. And here he comes. And this blind man, verse 8 also tells us he was a beggar. So he was outside of the temple. He was asking for alms. He was asking for help and so forth. And completely unaware, just like we are right now. Completely unaware that the eyes of God are upon us. Completely unaware that the eyes of God are upon you this very moment. He sees you. He knows you. He loves you. Amen. We are the sheep of his pasture. And here we look at this man who was blind from birth, meaning he had never, ever, one minute in his life had ever seen anything on this planet. Here is the only recorded incident of our Lord healing a person with a congenital disease or in other words, he was born blind. Now, look at verse 2. And his disciples asked Jesus, they asked him, saying, now, Rabbi, will you heal this blind man? Is that what he said? No. I mean, they should have asked that, I believe. But they said, they're asking a question that every one of us have asked in our life. He said, Rabbi, who sinned? This man, this blind man from birth that's sitting here, this blind man or his parents, that he was born blind. So to them, it was a paradox. It was a theological problem in a way. We've all asked that kind of question, haven't we? And so here, you know, the disciples, if we're going to interpret their question to our Lord, we have to do it not with an American mindset. We have to do it with a Jewish mindset, because they believed that if there was something wrong, the reason that there was this malady, this infirmity, this whatever in a person's life, it was caused by a sin. It was their fault that this thing occurred. And see, the Jewish rabbis, they believed in what's called prenatal sin, where a baby could actually sin in the womb and cause this kind of thing to come upon him. Now, come on. That's what they believe. The question really is not who sinned, because Romans 3:23 says all have sinned. Amen? All have sinned. Now, with that being said, look at Jesus' answer to their question. It says in verse 3 that Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. There should be a period there, not a comma. There's not any punctuation in the original manuscripts, okay? So you could put a period right there. But that the works of God should be displayed or revealed in him or in his life. So Jesus' answer is neither. He said, listen, this man's blindness wasn't caused by apparent sin, wasn't caused by any specific sin at all. And let me say something else. Nor is it God's work to make men blind. Amen? Boy, I'll tell you, no, he wasn't some spiritual guinea pig, said, this is all pre-planned, it's going to be right here, and you know what? This is like a punishment or something. Now, some of you may say, well, Bill, you know what? The sin of the parents can come upon the kids. You know, the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, I believe it is, on the Ten Commandments, and it was talking about graven images and all that. It says that, you know, the father's sin or transgression can come upon their children to the third and fourth generation. And that's where people stop. They need to read the whole thing, because it says to those who hate the Lord, that hate God. Well, if you hate God, that means you're in the world, right? You're not following the Lord. He says, but blessings upon those who love me. Now listen, you know, there is no doubt sin can come upon, we can transfer it. What do I mean by that? Well, let's say that I'm not saved and I'm a drug dealer. And here my kid grows up and the next thing he's selling drugs today. And then he gets married and has, and then he does the same thing to his son. Well, that's, is that, you see what I'm saying? You see, that's the sins of the father being going down through the generations. But loved one, listen, we're not transferring. The curse has been broken off us in Jesus' name. Amen? That's right. Now, we have to understand in our text that sickness, disease, infirmity, and death, all of those things are a direct result of Adam's sin when he fell in the garden. Through one man and one man only, sin entered the world. Amen? We're all, he was the federal head of the human race, and that's where sin came from. You know, you hear today a lot, I was listening to, I don't know what Christian station it was last night, but they were talking about Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, Hurricane whatever the next one is, Maria or whatever, and how that these are judgments of God against the people. Well, where do they, I don't understand that. God, I think I want to wipe out Puerto Rico. Let's just wipe the whole place. Let's let Key West be no more. No. If God wants to wipe somebody out, he could just say, you're wiped out. Do you understand? Yeah. You know, that's like years ago people were saying, you know, when the AIDS epidemic came about. And said, this is the judgment of God. It wasn't the judgment of God. It was the judgment that they brought into their own lives by disobeying the word of God. Does that make sense? See, sin does have consequences, all right? So that's what we're talking about. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, to blame a specific disability on a specific sin committed by a specific person is beyond man's ability or authority. Only God knows why babies are born with such things. And that is a true word. What does Jesus say? He says, listen, you see this man that we're passing by, that we're looking at this question that you ask about him? Jesus says, listen, the works of God should be revealed or displayed in him, meaning in his life. What does that mean? Jesus is saying, look, guys, this guy is a miracle just waiting to happen. He is an opportunity for my Father in heaven to be glorified. So we can touch him. We can love him. The God's grace and healing power can come upon him. And then Jesus says, and I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had said these things, he spat on the ground. Isn't that cool? I mean, how cool is that? Huh? I mean, that's Texas stuff, isn't it? So when he said these things, he spat on the ground, and look what he did. He made clay with the saliva, and he anointed or rubbed into the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, homework assignment. I gave the same assignment to the first service. I don't want to leave you out of it, okay? Here it is. How much saliva does it take to make clay? When you get home, try it, and then email Melinda or somebody else. Who cares? You know, don't email me. But you say, why clay? Well, was it a creative miracle? You see, the Bible teaches us in Genesis 2:7 that we are made from the dust of the earth. Did he take it and form eyes? Maybe he didn't have eyes. I don't know. But did he make new ones and put them in there? We're not told. You know, if you read over in Mark's gospel, in Mark 7:33, let me just read that to you about what Jesus did when he was with his saliva. It says here that, it says, then they brought to Jesus one who was deaf in Mark 7:32. And it says he was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand upon him. And Jesus took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers in his ears. Isn't Jesus, I mean, the way he does things? Think about that. He's spitting. Now he's putting fingers in his people's ears. Okay? And he says, and he spat and touched his tongue. It's in the Word of God. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and he said, Epaphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plainly. You don't ever You know, sometimes I believe the church becomes so wise in learning that they leave out the supernaturalness and the here-ness and now-ness of God. There's nothing that God can't do. There's nothing that Jesus can't do. Amen? Absolutely nothing. Don't ever, ever put Jesus in some type of your own little theological box and say, he can only do certain things. Jesus can do anything. Listen, I remember one night a man was sitting on the back row, and he came down. He says, Bill, his tears were in his eyes. He said, I'm in trouble. I said, I need you. I need you to pray for me right now. I said, what do you need me to pray for you about? He said, it's my hearing. Well, you know what I did? I took my fingers just like Jesus did. I wasn't showing off. I thought if it worked for the Lord, I can copy. It says, be imitators of Christ. So, you know what I mean? I didn't spit on him. Then I said, Apapatha, be opened in Jesus' name. Pulled those fingers back out, got the wax off. You know what I'm saying? Aren't you glad I'm back? Could you not stay gone a little longer? You know, when you're rested, you're horrible. And I said to him, did God touch your hearing? He says, Bill, you don't understand. I want you to pray for my hearing next week at the court. Now, verse 7. And Jesus said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. Aren't you glad I'm back? Amen. So he went, and look what he did. The blind man who was born blind, he went, he washed, he came back seeing. Look at that. The incredible, unbelievable power in simply obeying our Lord. Listen to me. There was no healing power in the clay. There's no healing power in the pool of Siloam, the water. There was none of that at all. Jesus didn't lay hands upon him. Jesus didn't say, be healed. Jesus commanded him to do something without any evidence that he would be healed. He simply went to the pool of Siloam. Because Jesus said to. And he went to the pool of Siloam. And he, let me ask you this. If he went to the pool of Siloam but he didn't wash, would he be healed? No. You had to do. See, Jesus placed conditions upon this man's healing. He had to be obedient. You had to go. You have to wash, and there's only one place that you can wash in, and it has to be the pool of Siloam. See, this was a direct result of just simply obedient faith. I'm going to do exactly what he said. Had he not done so, had he not been obedient to the Lord, had someone like, when I taught this one time before, I said, what if he was on the way to the pool of, pool of Siloam? And here he's going, and all of a sudden he's 25 feet away, and a wonderful Calvary Chapelite stops him, says, man, you're kind of, what's all that all over your eyes and all this mud stuff, and what, you're staggering trying to find the pool, and what do you want? He says, well, this guy told me to da-da-da-da-da, and he says, I'm just going there. Oh, here, listen, come home with me. Come home and let me take care. Let me wash that stuff out of your eyes. You're a mess. Would he have been healed? No. Boy, that's what the devil wants to stop us from always being obedient to the Lord. No, he went and he came back seeing. He would have never been, his healing would have never been, his eyes would have never been restored, nor would he have ever, probably ever been saved. Verse 8. Now we're going to look at quickly three people groups, and then I'm going to make application at the end of this message about being born blind. So we're going to look at neighbors, we're going to look at Pharisees, and we're going to look at his parents quickly. Verse 8. Therefore the neighbors, those who previously had seen that he was blind, said, is this not he who sat and begged? And some said, well, this is he. And others said, well, it looks like him. He said, I am he. There's a frustration here. I am he. Therefore, they said to him, well, how were your eyes open? You know, they're going to ask, he's going to ask this question four times, okay, in chapter 9. I would think if I was his neighbor and knew him, I would go, praise God. You know, I mean, I wouldn't be asking questions like that. I'd be giving glory to God, wouldn't you? I mean, I would be amazed. I would be marveling that someone's eyes had been opened. And he answered and said in verse 11, well, a man called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed. I received my sight. Did you see something that he left out? A man called Jesus, he made clay, anointed my eyes, and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam, wash. And so I went, washed, received my sight. What did he leave out? The spittle. Why did he leave that out? He was blind. He didn't see what the Lord did. Are you with me? Okay, look at verse 13. I'm sorry, 12. And then they said to him, well, where is he? And he said, I don't know where he's at. And they brought him to who was formerly blind. And look what they did to the religious rulers, the strictest sect, to the Pharisees. And now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made clay and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay in my eyes. I washed and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God. And here's the reason of their reasoning, because he does not keep the Sabbath. In other words, to make clay on the Sabbath with spittle or anything else would be considered work, okay? Others said, well, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. You know what is sad about all of this as we read it on this Sunday morning is that, yes, it was the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, they elevated the traditions of men, the oral law, the traditions of men, well, to the same level, but really they placed it above the authority of God's holy word. You know, the Sabbath was a day of rest unto man, and they created everything to be a burden. I mean, you know what? If you were a blind person and on the Sabbath day, and you did you know they would it was unlawful for you to pick up a staff and carry it? Because that's how you would get around. You know, if you were, say, an older fellow, everybody had beards back then, it was you. If you plucked one gray hair out of your beard, you had broken the law. If you cut your fingernail, you see what I'm saying? They made it all a terrible burden. Jesus never broke the Sabbath. He is the Lord of the Sabbath, amen? He never broke the law of God. He broke the traditions of men. Jesus told us earlier in chapter 5, I believe it was, he says, my Father work upon the Sabbath, and I work also. In other words, that day is a day that God says, listen, it doesn't matter what day it is. God's mercy is always available. His love is available. His goodness is available. Amen? Now, look at verse 17 with me. And they said to the blind man one more time, what do you say about him who, because he opened your eyes? And he said, well, he's a prophet. Just like, remember the woman at the well called Jesus a prophet. But the Jews did not believe him concerning him that he had been born or that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the what? His mom and dad. So here's the third people group. The parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, the mom, the dad, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His mother and father, they answered and said, listen, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we don't know. He is of age. In other words, he is a big boy. He is an adult. Ask him, he'll speak for himself. His parents, though, said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he is Christ or was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, watch this now, give glory to God. Give glory to God. In other words, they were putting this man under an oath. You are now in the presence of the living God, and you're going to testify in the name of God. Give him glory. Tell us the truth, okay? For we know, look what they say, we know that this man is a what? Sinner. They call the sinless Son of God a sinner. Boy, listen, I'm telling you something. What's so tragic right here is the word know. We know. That word in the Greek means we have absolute perfect knowledge about this individual. We know he is a sinner. The Pharisees crossed a major line with God when they did that. And he answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, but now I see. Loved one, listen to me. Isn't that your testimony? You that are born from above, you that have been filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you that have Jesus as your Lord, your Savior, like the song just said, who will never let you down. Now, don't you love that? Boy, we need to say that every moment of our life. He'll never let us down. He'll never let us down. He'll never let us down. Even when we feel like we're going down, he will never let us down. Amen. Listen, that's our testimony. I don't know what happened. There I was, there you were. All of a sudden, we were blind. We were born blind, just like this man, spiritually blind. But then one day, what happened? I don't know. I asked Jesus. He came to be, he found me. And then all of a sudden, I could see. Do you understand? Everything became new. Behold, all things become new. Old things have passed away. Amen? It's like everything is different in your life. You see things differently. You look at everything differently, and you start to love other people, and then you realize how real God is. I don't know what happened to me. I could have said myself, I don't know the Word of God. I don't even have a Bible. I don't even know one scripture. I don't know, but I only know this. I was blind, but now for the first time in my life, just like you, you say, I see. I'm no longer blind. I've been walking this earth blind, just like you, for how many years? And now, for the first time, I truly see. For see, in him was life, and he is the light of men. Amen. He gives us that light of life. All of a sudden, we do. I swear, as God is my witness, the moment on that Florida beach, When I lifted up my eyes after that hippie led me in prayer, is when I opened my eyes, I don't swear, I'm sorry, Lord. I promise you, I don't know how to explain it, but I saw everything seemed different. I mean, it was even the sun that was coming up out of the ocean. I mean, the color of the sky, the sand, everything just seemed new, and I didn't know what happened to me. Well, I was born again, just like you were born again. This I know, I was blind, but now I see. Verse 26 says, and then they said to him again, this is the fourth time, okay, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered and said, I told you already and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You're deaf, you're blind, you're a bunch of morons. You know what I mean? He says, do you also want to become his disciples? Now he's getting kind of tacky with them, okay? And look what they did. Then they reviled, or literally they abused him and said, you're his disciple, but we're Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses, but for this fellow, what a word to use for our Lord. We do not know where he is from. And then the man answered, listen to what he says. Why, this is a remarkable or a wondrous or a marvelous thing. This incredible thing that has happened, he says, that you don't know where he's from, and yet he's opened my eyes. Listen, the blind man has now been able to see for about 3 hours, okay? For the first time in his life, he sees everything around him, all of his surroundings. He didn't know what he looked like. Now he does. He never had seen the face of his mother, his father. He'd heard the voice of Pharisees. He's probably heard their teaching or when they passed by and gave him alms at the temple. But he had never seen their manner of dress. He'd never seen their phylacteries or their robe and the tassels and all the rest of it. And for the first time in his life, you know what he's seeing? As they abuse him, as they revile him, he sees prejudice for the first time. He'd never seen it before. He had heard it, no doubt. But he had not seen the expression of it upon anyone's face. He sees hate. He sees those men that are there for the very first time. And look at the sermon that he delivers to them. He says, now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, listen now, since the world began, it has been unheard that of anyone open the eyes of one who was born blind. if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. What a great sermon. His theology was correct. Amen? Now watch this. And they answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins. Now that's that Jewish rabbinical mindset again. You know, prenatal sins. You did something to cause this, okay? And you're teaching us. And look what they did. They took a man that had just had a creative miracle, one who was a Jew. And what did they do? They cast him out of the temple area. They cast him out. That word means they excommunicated him. He was to be shunned now by everyone. He was never allowed back into the religious life of the nation of Israel. Even his parents had to shun him, or they would be excommunicated. No one could employ him. In 3 hours, he lost what little that he had and the people that he had. And now he's all alone and by himself. His parents didn't follow him. They knew. They were already afraid of the Jews. And so what happens? The good shepherd who never loses a sheep, amen? Look what it says. And Jesus heard that they had excommunicated him, cast him out. And when he had found him, don't you love that? Jesus searching for him. Luke 19:10, how Jesus came to seek, and he said, to save those that are lost. And he says, oh, he's searching, and he found him, and he said to him, do you believe in the Son of Man? It should read Son of Man, not Son of God. Do you believe in the Son of God, Son of Man? In other words, that call to commitment. Think about it now. The Lord, he had never heard or seen the face of Jesus, but he did hear his voice. And I can assure you that he recognized his voice. Amen? It's like John 10:27. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, okay? He heard the voice, and he answered and said, well, who is he, Lord, that I may believe and rely on and trust in and lean all that I believe upon? Who is he that I may believe in him? And Jesus gave him then the object of faith himself. Watch. And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I love that. Master, owner, Lord, I believe. And what did he do? He started worshiping the Lord. You know, religion that could never help him, that could only be mean to him or whatever, removed him, rejected him. But Jesus, the Son of God, accepted him. Amen? You see, now watch this. He was born blind, meaning physically blind. Now, he was also spiritually blind. But now he is both healed spiritually and physically. Amen? Now, watch what happened. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Well, we want to make sure that you don't say Jesus is contradicting himself. Because remember what it says in John 3:16, 17, 18, for God so loved the world that he gave his own begotten Son, remember, and all that. And he says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe in him is condemned already. So what was Jesus saying here? Here's the deal. When a person is confronted with Jesus, Jesus is your Savior. Jesus loves you. He died for you. To reject that is to pass judgment upon your own self, isn't it? Yet you're already judged. So that's what the Lord was saying. See, those people were blind to their own sin, just like we were blind to our own sin. Before we came to Christ and somebody said, you're a sinner, did that upset you? Thank God there was one honest person in this church. Yeah, I'm a sinner. I love to sin. No, you didn't say that. You know, and they would, or if they were aggressive with you, you didn't know what was going on. Why? You were born blind. And so here, we look at this, and these people were blind to their own condition. Look at this. Then some of the Pharisees, who were with them, heard these words and said to Jesus, are we blind also? And Jesus said, yeah. You were blind? If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. In other words, you've rejected me. You've rejected God's offer of salvation, meaning you are now blind. I am the Messiah. You're just as blind as the man born blind. He was unaware that I was standing in front of him, and you're unaware that the light of the world, the Messiah, is standing in front of you. You are totally blind because you do not believe. Listen, to reject Jesus Christ, if you don't know Christ Jesus, listen to me. If you're here this morning, I love you. God loves you, but listen to me. To reject Christ Jesus means you're blind. You're blind. And to reject him means you will remain blind until the very end. What a sad, sad thought. You know, listen to me. The neighbors, the parents, and the Pharisees, they all knew that this man, that a miracle had occurred in his life. Did you notice that no one believed in chapter 9 except one person? And that was the man who was born blind. Now listen carefully. All of us, every person that has ever been born on this planet was born blind, meaning spiritually blinded. Amen? That's how we used to be. All of us, we were just born blind. We were dead in trespasses and sin. And here's the problem. We didn't know we were blind, but we were blind. And the only cure for blindness is Jesus Christ. See, there was no other human cure for this man except Jesus Christ. But here's what one thing I want you to get out of this morning. I've got, anyway, I'm trying to get back into the flow of the anointing. I tell you, to sit out on the porch and not do a thing is an anointed thing. You know, just be like nothing. I like that. Matter of fact, I like it so much, you know, the rocking chairs in the main lobby? At 7:30 this morning, that's where I was. I go, this is great. God, help me. Why am I back here? No, I'm teasing. Jesus opened the eyes of a man born totally blind. I don't know what that scripture that I read earlier about that did for you, but here's what I pray it does for you. It should so set you on fire. I mean, your faith should be such soaring faith because, listen, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, he owns us. He can do anything. There, listen, here comes the waves, the storm. Wait, just be still. The leper be cleansed. The dead hear his voice arise. The paralyzed man, 38 years, you know what I mean? 38 years. Arise, take up thy bed and walk. Do what you cannot do in your own strength because I command you to do it. There is nothing too hard for Jesus. Do you understand? You don't have one thing to be afraid of. You know, you don't ever be afraid of the devil. Respect, Pastor Chuck always used to say, respect the devil, but you don't fear the devil. Because we have overcome the wicked one, amen? And the reason we have is because we're in the one who defeated him on the cross. Listen, don't let anything, you don't have to worry about anything. If Jesus, if he can open blind eyes, you think he can take care of you? He can take care of whatever's going on in your life. Bill, you don't know, I'm struggling with an addiction or I'm struggling with, listen, don't ever make it bigger than Jesus because it's not. Well, you should look at my finances. Well, you should look at mine. I'm not ruled by finances. I'm not led by what's in a checkbook. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, nothing is too hard for the Lord. He opened the eyes of a man born blind. What an incredible, unbelievable miracle. Listen, we who were born blind, spiritually blinded, you know what? The Bible tells us that we were so blind that we were spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. Amen? Matter of fact, turn in your Bibles. I want to show you something quickly to Ephesians. Hold your place in John because we're going to go back there. We just got a few more minutes in John. And a few more minutes meaning 20. But I'm joking. And look at Ephesians chapter 2, and let me turn there with you. Ephesians chapter 2. Now watch this. I want you to look at your position. You're no longer blind, loved one. You're born again. Amen? Now watch this. It says in let's just start at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love in which he loves us, even when we were dead, meaning spiritually dead, when we were born blind, we had no clue about God. The natural man doesn't discern the things of the Spirit, neither can he. Now watch. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. What's that word? Together. Together with whom? Christ, for by grace you have been saved. And watch this now. Look at our position. And made us alive together with Christ and raised us, all of us, raised us up what? Together. And made us, oh, he made us what? To sit together in the heavenly places. And how was it done? In, that's a very important word, in Christ Jesus. Now listen to me. That right now is your position in the beloved. Amen? Now that is an exalted position, exalted to the very throne with him. Our great high priest carried us literally, even though we're not there yet. We are there. Does that make sense? In position. Man, we need to live that out. And listen, one day we will. And you know why he has done this? One of the reasons? I want you to look at verse 7. Watch this. This is going to blow you away. That in the ages to come, meaning when we finally get home, he might what? Show. Display, if you will. Show the exceeding riches, overflowing, you know, it's unlimited riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now listen, what does that mean? Do you remember when you were in grade school? Or maybe, I don't know if they do it I don't think they would do it in high school. I don't really know, but it was called show and tell. Let me speak to the educated side. Do you remember show and tell? And you would show and tell. Well, that word, what does it say there? Look at verse 7 again. Watch this now. That he might what? Show, display. In other words, let me show you something. In other words, here's what's going to happen. One day, and I'll use myself, you put yourself there. One day, God may say, hey, Bill, come here. Yeah, I remember when you were a loser. He says, I want to show you Bill. Here he is. I'm going to tell you all about this guy. You know, he was born blind. He was dead in trespasses and sins. He was lost until I found him. Oh, I watched him run from me as people came to witness to him over and over. He thought that I was a joke. But you know what? One day I caught him. I got him right where I wanted him. He didn't know it how many times I saved him from death, from a sinful life. Oh, no, but I did it for this reason, to show my exceeding riches of grace in kindness. One day, he's going to say, come up here. You know, and he's going to say, listen, you seraphims and cherubims and angels and whoever, let me tell you about you and you and you and you. Are you with me? Listen, that's who we are. We belong to our Lord. Amen? And it tells us then, it goes on, it says, listen, we were saved how? Not by the law, but by grace we've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, we've been saved and been made alive. We're no longer born blind. We are now born and we are free. Amen? But more than that, we're saved for something. Look at it. For we, the church, us, we're his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand, before you were ever born, okay? That we should walk in them. Now listen, this is so important this morning that we see something about this, especially for the time that we are living in right now. And that is, being made alive is not the end. You know what I mean? When our eyes have been opened because we were spiritually dead. In other words, we possessed life, but we didn't possess a spiritual life. We just went through the activities, the physical activities of life. We weren't born again, but now that we are, being made alive from the dead is not the end. It's only the beginning of what God wants us to do. Amen? You see, we're the body of Christ now. He's created works, good works, for everyone here, for this church, that we might walk in them. So what is the plan then, Bill? What is the plan of God? That's I'm so glad you asked. Now, turn back to John chapter 9, and let's finish up with verse 4. I want you to see this. And it is my prayer that this embraces your heart. John 9, 4. Look what Jesus said. He passed the blind man, and there he is looking at him, and he looks at his disciples, and he says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. The night is coming when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. What verse this is? It is a verse that you should take home with you, and you should dissect every word in it from the original language. You see, the word there when it says day, it's Jesus is speaking with an urgency. He says, oh, listen, he says, time is so short. Time is so limited, even for me. That's what the Lord was saying. And he used that word night there. He says that means that night was coming, and it's coming so rapidly. And it was speaking of Jesus going to the cross, his death and dying. But you know what? Night, until if Jesus doesn't return for us in this generation, the rapture, you know what? Night's going to come for all of us too. Do you hear me? That's a reality, loved one. It's going to come for us. And you know, it could come for whenever. I don't know. But it's a reality. But what I want you to see is that how the text should read in the original languages and in the best manuscripts, okay? It should read this way. It could read, it is necessary, Jesus saying, it is necessary. He doesn't use the word I, a personal pronoun. He said, it's necessary for us. He's looking at the disciples, for us. Or it could read like this, we, fellows, we must work the works of him that sent me. What did Jesus just do in the original language? He said, listen, this is just not me. This is you as well. You're my disciples. You know what? We are now working together to fulfill the perfect will of the Father. Amen? That's what this is all about. He's saying this rule of love now is extended not just to me. This rule of love is now extended to you as well. And it's extended to all of us as well. Does that make sense? And I say, oh, God. Oh, I'm so thankful that you're sharing this with us. You know, in other words, before our time is gone, because one day it will be gone. No one expects to be gone today, but it will. Something happens sometimes, loved one. And I'm thinking, you know, it's like being away praying and thinking about all the things that need to be accomplished. You know, I said, oh, Lord, time is so short, you know, and we need to hurry. Because the night is coming. Every one of us should be saying, Lord, what is it? You know, listen to me. Here's what happens in the church today with so many Christians. We, as we go on with the Lord or whatever's happening, we start chasing nearly everything but Jesus. We don't need to chase anything, get on any program or any political this or that. We need to do one thing. We need to do what Jesus commanded us to do. Go into all the world. Amen? We're fishers of men. All right, not only that, we're to love one another and we're to love God with all of our heart and we're to embrace those things of God. We need to follow him while we can. Why? The night is coming. Oh, and I looked at that and Jesus said, listen, I associate you with me. You're my body. You're my people. We have a job to do. We have a work that must be done, and we need to hurry. You see that blind man, or you see that person that doesn't have any food, or you see that person that's lonely or on drugs or drunk or whatever it is. It is an opportunity. Do you look at that as an opportunity? They are an opportunity to demonstrate, Jesus says, my love, my grace, my power. You're the light of the world. Don't hide your light. We're fishers of men. Don't hide that. Oh, listen, we need to embrace that scripture with all of our heart. We need to do what every Christian should be, unless you're blind to this scripture. should be winning people to Christ. We should be bringing the lost. I pray every morning, Father, bring the lost and the hurting and the backslidden and the wounded to Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. Bring them here where they'll be loved. Bring them here where they'll be said, told the truth, where they're not being fleeced, but they're being fed. You are the most powerful people on this planet. It's not your ministry. It is His ministry. It's His church. Amen? And we are His body. And Jesus looks at them. He looks at you. He'd call each of you by name. And He would say, listen, we're in this together. We're in this together. We must do the works of Him who has called us while it is day. Because a night is coming and no one's going to be able to work then. We must do business, the Lord's business, until He comes or takes us home. I say all that to say this. You who are listening live, you that are here this morning, I know not any heart. God does. But I tell you, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord, I want you to listen to me because I love you and God loves you. But here's the deal, loved one. You need to make your decision before night falls because the night is coming. See, here's the deal. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know that you were born blind, meaning spiritually blind. You didn't know that. You've gone through this life and you're just going, I'm my own man, I'm my own woman, I can make it happen. No, no, listen, you're blind. You're blind. I'm not saying that to beat you up. I'm just saying you're blind. And there's only one person in all of the universe that can open the eyes of the blind. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the one who loves you, who died for you, and who paid your sin debt, which no man can pay. Have you ever wondered, I know it's near time to go, but let me just, five minutes. Do you ever wonder why more people aren't saved in our generation? We have, how many Christian TV stations and TVs and radio? We've got people all over America. The word of God is going all over the world. Why aren't more people saved? Is it because there's not enough good preaching? Is there just a lot of bad preaching? Does that really make a difference? It's like I told the first service. I said, I came out of Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas. Pastor Pat, I love him, man. He's a great man of God. He was an executive for McDonald's. A $500,000 a year man. And that was back, do you know how many years ago that was? That's a lot of, got saved, started a church right there in Nevada, Las Vegas. Man, he started pouring concrete so he could survive, make money to live. He'd come in like our Wednesday evening service. He had his old mud boots on, and his Levi's, and they were torn right here, and his sweaty old shirt, and hair was all messed up. And and he'd come in, and listen, he could just spit, and 100 people would get saved. Do you understand me? I'm serious. You're thinking, I've seen the revival that occurred back then. It's just not, why aren't more people being saved right now? Is it because of bad preaching or good? What is it? I'll tell you why. If you're not born again right now, if you don't want Jesus Christ to be your Lord, if you're not saved, I'm going to tell you why. It's because there's a God of this age. His name is the devil. And it says that he has done something to your mind. He has blinded the mind of those who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine light into their hearts and explode it with the light of God, where all of a sudden your eyes are opened. Listen to me. If a person is born blind, do they need someone to lead them around? Yes. If you are not born from above, listen to me. There's someone holding your hand right now, and he is leading you through this life, and it leads to only one place, and that is hell. And that's where he wants everyone to go. You see, he's the God, little g, God of this age. Don't let him blind your mind. You just heard the truth. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You see, so you have to ask yourself, you have to say, listen, What do I need to do? Well, Jesus told us. Jesus said this, I am the light of the world. I am the only illumination in this world. There's no one else. I am the light of life. I am the light of the world. And he who does something, he who follows me, that means to believe in him and then obey him. He who follows me, travels with me, gets in on the adventure. He who follows me, listen to what Jesus said, you'll never walk in darkness because you will be delivered from the power of darkness. But you will walk in the light of life. Oh God, if you don't know Christ, you're born blind just like I was. Why don't you come to Christ today, right this minute? I promise you that tomorrow will be too late. Father, we praise you as every Christian in this chapel is now praying. And Lord, if there's anyone listening live, if there's anyone in this room that Jesus Christ is not their Lord, oh, Father, you want them. Jesus died for them, and we want them. We want to snatch them out of the snare of the devil. We want to rip them right out of his hands. And we want their eyes to be opened. So Lord, right now, with every eye closed and every Christian praying, if you have never asked Christ Jesus to be the Lord of your life, if you've never said, Jesus, come in and be the ruler of my life, take it over. If you've never done that, you can do it right now. It's not about joining the church. It's not about any of those things. You don't have to get out of your chair. But you have to have faith. You have to believe. And here's how you do it. You just simply lift your hand up and say, Bill, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want him right now. I want to ask him to come into my life, into my heart. If that's you, just put your hand up, put it right back down. That's all you have to do this morning. And I'll pray for you right where you are. You don't have to come down. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. I see that. Anyone else will say, Bill, that's me. Put it high because I can't see very far away. Anyone else before I pray? God bless you. Anyone else? My last call now. Anyone else? God bless you. I see that. Those that lifted your hands, listen to me now. That was a sign of faith. Now there comes confession. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. In church, I want you to help me. Say, Father, I was blind. I was born blind. I want my eyes opened. My spiritual eyes. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus, be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. You promised if I would ask Jesus to be my Lord and believe it in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. Open my eyes to the newness of life. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And we all say, amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we?